will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. They shall call them the border of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. And your eyes shall see, and ye shall say, the Lord will be magnified from the border of Israel. A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name. And ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. This hath been your means. Will he regard your person, saith the Lord of hosts? Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle the fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I accept an offering at your hand. For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered unto my name. A pure offering for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But you have profaned it in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, and the fruit thereof, even his meat, is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what weariness is in it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick, and thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. Brother, can you ask the blessing on the sermon this morning? Romans 12, let's read one verse first, and then if you'll pray for the sermon, please. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans 12:1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Go ahead.
Thank you, Father in heaven, for being a holy God, for being a good God to us, your people. Lord, I pray, Lord, as we talk about this subject of sacrifice, you open our hearts and our minds, Lord, to what your word has to say. Father in heaven, what greater sacrifice is there than when you lay down your own life for us? And I pray, Lord, that that behooves us and that moves us, Lord, where there's nothing too big that we cannot offer to you, and that there's nothing we would hold back if you would ask for it, God. I pray that you bless the message. I pray that you bless Pastor Bez. Lord, help us not to be dull of hearing this morning, but help us, Lord, to be attentive and to glean from your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Romans 12, Paul is imploring us. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And Paul is beseeching us or imploring us to present God our Father, our physical living bodies, as a living sacrifice. In the Old Testament, when they brought the sacrifice to the brazen altar, it was killed. It was dead, right? And when they wanted to offer another sacrifice, they had to go get another animal and kill it, and it was dead. In the New Testament, where we're at today, Jesus Christ is my sacrifice. I don't need to bring a sacrifice for my sins. Jesus died for my sins. He paid for them once for all, and he sat down at the right hand of God. But if you think about the Old Testament Jew that got saved, you know what they were used to doing? They were used to bringing a turtle dove or a lamb or a ram or something to God every year in service to God, right? They would bring all kinds of different offerings, some for fellowshipping with God, some to pay for their sins, some to just thank the Lord and praise the Lord with. Now, Jesus Christ died on the cross and he was the offering. They no longer needed an offering, but they were used to giving God something, to sacrificing to God. They were used to something that cost them something to bring to God. Now what were they supposed to do? Paul said, I'll tell you what to do. You take that same thing that you had, the same burden you had, the same feeling you had, and bring your body to God as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. You know what Paul said? I die daily. That's like the sacrifice they brought to him. You know what he called his body? A vessel, a temple, a house. Philippians 1:20 said this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And you know what we're supposed to be? We're supposed to be a living sacrifice that magnifies Christ. You know what a magnifying glass does? It takes something that's small, that you can't see, and it makes it big so you can see it. And when we present our bodies a living sacrifice to God, most people don't see the Lord. They don't know God. He's little to them, and he's very far away. And you know what we're supposed to do? Present our bodies a living sacrifice to God and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ to them. Now, here's the thing. God doesn't accept every sacrifice people bring him. Did you know that? He rejects some of them. And he says, I don't want that sacrifice. I know you're bringing it, but I am not going to accept it. It is unacceptable. Have you ever had a teacher or a boss, and maybe you worked on a paper, or maybe you did a project, and you bring it to them, and you say, here's my project, and they say, what is this? This is a mess. This is unacceptable. And they say, go back to the drawing board and start over. Right? Now, here's what I want to say. He said this, to what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba? And sweet cane from a far country. Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Malachi 1, God is telling Israel why he will not accept their sacrifice. He's saying, look, I'm not going to accept it for these reasons. Now this morning, I profess to love God. You profess to love the Lord, right? And you know why we're here this morning, honestly, is we want to present to God a sacrifice. Is that true? You know what some of you did? You forewent sleep that you needed, you were tired, and you got up anyway because you wanted to come to church to serve the Lord. You could have done the dishes, you could have washed the car, you could have cleaned out the garage. You could have mowed the yard. You could have done something with the children. Something that needed to be done. Maybe you needed to do grocery shopping. You needed to catch up on things. I mean, Monday's coming and it's been a long weekend and you have a lot to do. And you know what you said? I'm going to go to church and I'm going to sacrifice and I'm going to do that for the Lord. Was it acceptable? The plate just went by and we all have bills. We have needs. There were many of you, you have a lot of things you're trying to do, you're wanting to do, you're paying off debt, you're paying down things, you're saving for a new air conditioner or a new iPhone, whatever's the most important thing, right? And all these things that you're doing, and you know what you said? I am going to put those things aside, and I am going to sacrifice, and I'm going to give to the Lord this morning. Was it acceptable? God said there's some sacrifices I'm not going to accept. Some of you went beyond that, and you stayed up late, and you studied, and you prepared, and you gave the best of your time and your talent, preparing something for the Lord. You have done your best, not only just to come and to give, but to put your energies and your talent behind this church as a sacrifice to try to do something for God and put treasures in heaven. Isn't that what we've done here this morning? Was it acceptable to God? I don't know. He said, there's some sacrifices I will not accept. And if God doesn't accept it, can I tell you it's of no value at the judgment seat of Christ? And if God doesn't accept it, when you get to the judgment seat of Christ, it is not an asset, but it's a liability. A high look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. You know, some people are going to go to the judgment seat of Christ, and they are going to give account for their sacrifices to God. You know what Malachi 1 shows us? It shows us what God is looking for in every sacrifice. So as we go through these this morning, here's what I want you to ask yourself. Are these things that God is looking for present in my sacrifice to God this morning? Are these things that God is looking for in order to accept the sacrifice, are they present in my sacrifice that I gave him this morning? Let's find out. Number one, it must be done in love. Malachi 1:2 says, I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet you say, wherein hast thou loved us? What? He said, I loved you, and they said, what are you talking about? Where have you loved? Why do you say you, wherein have you loved us? They were serving God night and day at the temple. They were sacrificing to God at the temple, and at the same time they said, God doesn't love us. I want you to think about this. These Jews had just come back from captivity back into the land. The economy was terrible. It was terrible. They were very, very poor. And you know what they were doing? They were taking these very expensive animals, and they were bringing them to God, and they were sacrificing them to God and going through this great expense, and it was their livelihood. It would be like us giving up a car. And it was just a waste. God didn't accept it. At the same time, they were offering to God these enormous, expensive sacrifices. They were questioning his love. And you know, if we're not careful, we can fall into that. We can. We can say, you know, God's up in heaven, and he doesn't really care about me, but he sure does have great expectations. You know? And he's not really interested in me, but if I don't do this, then he's going to get his baseball bat out and hit me over the head. And you know what I better do? I better go to church this morning, because if I don't, God might kill me. He's just awful. Oh, he loves me. Yeah, sure. You know why I'm giving this to God? God doesn't want that. That's not acceptable to God. He doesn't understand. They were sacrificing to a God and they doubted his love. You know what heathens do? They take their babies, the best they have, and they go to the Nile River. And the crocodiles are there with their mouths open. And they throw their babies into the Nile River to appease the wrath of the crocodile god. You know what they do? They offer their baby to Baal and Moloch, because if I don't do this, then the heavens are going to not drop down rain and the crops aren't going to give to me. And I'm going to give precious human life to this god. Listen, if you are a victim of God, He doesn't want your sacrifice. You know what the heathen gods do? They take all these gifts and sacrifices, and they want you to keep bringing them, and they hold them over your head to retain control over you. That's not the way God is. That God doesn't want that. Wherein have you loved us? He said, I'm not going to accept that. I don't want to take gifts and sacrifices from victims. I want to get it from somebody that loves me and that knows that I love them. And I care about them and I want their best. And I don't want to harm them. And they had the audacity to ask this question, wherein hast thou loved us? You know, God had shown his love for Israel by choosing them to be his people and by his treatment of them during the whole course of history. And you know, God refutes their unjust charge by saying, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. That doesn't mean he wouldn't save anybody from the line of Esau. That doesn't mean that he was looking forward to burning the Edomites in hell and he didn't want. He said, my name will be great among the Gentiles. You know what that's saying? It couldn't be both. It couldn't be Esau and Jacob. It had to be one. And I chose you. And when I wanted to give my law, I gave it to you. And when I wanted to put a temple here on earth where my name was, where all the people of the earth could come and hear about me and know about my words, and I gave them to you. The oracles of God were committed to the Jews. And they said, what do you mean you've loved us? And he said, look, not only have I loved you, I've chosen you, and I've been against everybody that was against you. You can't love flowers without hating weeds. And when the Egyptians were against you, I drowned them. When the Canaanites were against you, I drove them out with hornets. Listen, I cared about you. What do you mean, wherein hast thou loved us? I gave you great leaders. You know it was ridiculous for them to ask that question then? And can I say this? That it's even more ridiculous to ask it now. It is even more ridiculous for people in 2019 to say, what do you mean God loves me? If you doubt his love, why are you here? What good is it? He sent his son, in whom he was well pleased, his beloved son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it pleased God to bruise him for you and I. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary shed his precious blood, and the blood of the Son of God hit the dust in the Middle Eastern country of Israel that day. Why? Because he loved me. He loved me and he cared about me. And God doesn't want anything from anybody that doesn't know that and that doubts that. Wherein hast thou loved us? Listen, if your sacrifice has done anything other than in love for God, he's not going to accept it. That's just not how he works. He parted the Red Sea for them. He gave them manna from heaven. He pruned them. You know what the vine dresser does? He prunes the vine that he highly prizes. He doesn't prune the vines of the wilderness. He lets them grow wild. Even the problems they went through, God had so designed it that it was for their good. But you know what they refused to do? Look at the tokens of his love that were strewn all the way through history as far back as they could go. All the way back they could see tokens of the love of God, where God was interested in them. They didn't. Wherever you loved us. You know, if you take a telescope and you look at our known universe, as far as the Hubble telescope can see, and you look all around, you know what you'll find? There's no place that human life can exist but the earth. And I think about a mother, and she's going to have a child, and you know what she does? She gets a nursery, and she makes a theme, and if it's a boy, she makes it blue. And if it's a girl, she makes it pink. And she gives it a theme. All for a baby that's going to be born. She's creating an environment for it. And that little child doesn't know, as he pees on his blue dog blanket, that it is a token of his mother's love. And the fact that we are on this earth, and nowhere else can life exist. Nowhere. He prepared a place for us. And He's preparing another place for us. And that is a token of how dare you question the love of God. Well, if you just don't think I love you, then no. Get it out of here. Get it out of here. You know what God's looking for in His sacrifice this morning? His offering that you're giving Him? He's looking for love. And if you don't know He loves you, then maybe He get His whip and stick out. Whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. And if you question His love, He's going to do that. He's going to chasten you. And if you can't figure that out, then what meaneth this service? What meaneth it? Are you sacrificing to a God of love? Number two, look at Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6. It must be done with honor. He says in verse 6, a son honoreth his father and a servant his master. And if I then be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priests. If I'm a master, then where's my fear? You fear when your boss tells you something. You honor your father. Do you honor God? O you priests that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? Well, I'll tell you. You offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer the blind for a sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and the sick, is it not evil? Underline this part. And I want you to think about your gift this morning, your sacrifice to God this morning, whatever that was. He says this, offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? Let me ask you this. If you had the same attitude about your work for God as you did your secular work, would you be promoted? If you took the same approach to the things of God that you do for your secular work, would you be promoted? If you studied for your exam the same way as you studied for your Sunday school lesson, would you still get an A? God said, what are you giving me? Your gift, your sacrifice. Is it the best or is it what's left over? It wasn't their best. He said, go ahead and give it to... If you had a guest over, the governor of Texas, would you offer him this moldy bread? Would you give him this sick animal? This blind animal? Is that what you would give him? Give it to the governor, and if you would do better for human leadership, why do you think I'm going to accept that if they wouldn't accept it? I'm a better God than they. I'm more powerful. I am a great God. I'm a great king. That's what he said. It's complete and utter disrespect. And God said, it helps me see what's most important in your life. Here's what God says to you and I this morning. I will have first place or no place at all. I will have first place in your life or no place at all. People are dedicated to so many things. You know, people go to the gym, and they go the same time every day. And it's prime time when they could be sleeping or doing something else. And they go home, and they get a little scoop, and they measure out their brown rice and their oatmeal. And they eat 10 meals a day, and they take a scoop of this and a pinch of this, and they weigh out their meat. And they mess up their earthly relationships, and they can't even have a good relationship because they have to be at the gym at a certain time every day. Why? All so they can get up in a shiny pair of underwear and flex in front of people. That's why they do it. Dedicated. But when it comes to the things of God, I got to go to the gym. Stephen Curry is a basketball player, and he's one of the greatest in the NBA, the three-point shooter, right? And they asked him this. They said, how did you become the best? And he said, you know what I do? Every night before I would eat, before I would go to sleep, there's a game in basketball called Around the World, and you go to the corner of the three-point line over here, the goal's over here. And he said, I would make 10 shots. Then I would go halfway and make another 10 shots. Then I would go to the center and I would make another 10 shots. And I would go here and I'd make another 10 shots in a row. And here and make another 10 shots in a row. And if I missed one, I would go back one space. And I wouldn't do anything else until I did that. And he'd made 94 of them in a row on camera. And he would do that every day. And he said, if you want to be the best, that's what you have to do. And you know what people will do? They will dedicate so much time and so much energy in becoming the best. They'll work hard, they'll study long, but in the end, they only do it for things that are for their own glory and for their own benefit. They train hard, but when it comes to the things of God, make me a blessing to someone today. Why is he coming in here? Make me a blessing. I wish they wouldn't come here anymore. Hey, we're playing for the Lord. We're singing for the Lord. And I'm not going to sing my heart out, but you ought to hear me in the car with LL Cool J. Or Nicki Minaj. I don't know what their names are anymore. Britney Spears, but she's like ancient, right? People singing their hearts out, you know, going down the road just, you know, where is that for God? Offer it to your governor and see if he'll accept it. You know, some people, they would never, in a million years, would you ever catch them being late for work. Ever. 30 years of my life and I've never been late once. But when it comes to the things of God, right? You know what the Lord's saying? If you're going to give me a sacrifice, it has to be done with honor. That you're giving it to a great God and you're giving it to a great king. And you're giving it to somebody that deserves the best. When you're doing your books at work and you're writing out your invoices, you get down to the last penny and you make sure that your customer gets what's coming to you. But when it comes to God's books, here's 10 bucks. Right? Offer it to your governor. Is it your greatest effort or your least effort? Is it your greatest effort or your leftover effort? Is it your best? They weren't honoring God's name. They were taking the best for themselves. They didn't value the spiritual privileges God gave them of serving at the altar and burning the incense and sacrificing the animals and eating the dedicated showbread. They did not bring the best for the sacrifices. They brought the poorest of the animals and they kept the best for themselves. God gave them His very best. And He asked for their best in return, but they would not obey. He deserves my best. Let me ask you this. Where does your best go? Are you more eager to please yourself, another human, or God? We're here to do something and give it to God, aren't we? We want Him to accept it, don't we? Then it must be done in honor. And it also must be done in sincerity. 1 in verse 10 says this. Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do you kindle a fire on my altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts, neither will I what? Accept an offering. They had to see the direct benefit to themselves before they would do it. They wouldn't do it in sincerity. It always had strings attached to it. They weren't there to serve, but they were there to strive, shine. They had to have affirmation and accolades. They had to get money and they had to earn merit. Hey, let's wrap up. We're going home. Hey, bro, can you go shut the door? I sure can. Click, click. That'll be 10 bucks. What? Can you build a fire on my altar? Absolutely. You know, I'm a professional fire builder. You ought to understand how much and how valuable my service is. Every time I start a fire, that'll be $27. What? You know what? As Christians, we can literally fall into that. And we can start going to church because we think God's going to bless us. And we can start giving to God because we think God's going to bless us. And we're everything has a... It's not because God is a good God and He deserves my best and I want to give Him a sacrifice. It's if I do this, then God will do this. And if I do this, then God's obligated to do this to me. Listen, we're not trying to buy His favor this morning. Are we? Didn't we get His favor through the Lord Jesus Christ as a free gift? We don't have to earn His favor. Going to church doesn't get you to heaven. Giving to God doesn't give you to heaven. Why are just do it for nothing? You know, Haman was one time standing outside the king's court, and Mordecai was... the king was reading about someone that saved his life, and he's like, what did we do to help him? And he said, we didn't do anything. And then there's a knock at the palace door, and he said, who's out there? He said, it's Haman. Tell him to come in. He said, Haman, you know, what should be done for the man that the king delighteth to honor? And Haman thought to himself, who would the king delight to honor more than myself? I mean, who, honestly, of all the people on earth, who would the king delight to honor more than me? I can't think of anyone. You know what you could do, king? You could bring forth your robe and your crown and your horse, and you can get your most important person and put him on the horse and lead him around town and say, this guy is the greatest. This is the best. Oh, wow, look at this man. Isn't he awesome? It's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Go do that for Mordecai. Lord, I know you have many blessings, and I am in church. No, I could have been watching the game today. But you know what? I chose you. And I have something that I need you to take care of. And I don't understand why you're taking so long, because look at all that I've been doing for you. Have I not done many wonderful works in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and I do this, and look at all that I'm doing. God says, look, if I want to sacrifice, I don't owe you anything. I just want you to give me because you love me. And don't have strings attached to it. Listen, honestly, God's not going to accept this if you're doing it so you'll be in a better position later. You know what the prosperity preachers say? Give and it will be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Hallelujah. And if you want to be wealthy, you know what you have to do? You have to sow some seeds of prosperity. And God will bless you. He's obligated to bless you if you put it in a plate. Give! Listen, if you start tithing, that doesn't mean your finances are going to get better. And it doesn't mean God owes you anything. Your finances aren't going to get better until you stop going to Starbucks and you make your own coffee and you cut up your credit cards and you stop spending money you don't have and you grow up. Amen. Amen. Tithing. Listen, I'm not giving it to God because I want something from Him. You know I'm giving it to God? Because He's a great God. And I'm doing it in sincerity. Stop sowing seeds. Listen, if they don't hatch, they'll be seeds of bitterness. Well, if I go to church, God's going to make my marriage better. Yeah, not if you're married to a lost person. No. You're just going to get further and further apart. You'll get closer to God and they won't. How about just going because that's what God wants me to do? Look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. If I start going to church, my life is going to improve. Well, just watch. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. And here Paul gets saved. And the Lord said, Acts 9 and verse 15, tell me when you're there, say amen. And the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Doesn't that sound wonderful? Paul, I have chosen you, and you're going to bear my name before kings. Hallelujah. Yeah, but you're going to be on death row and you're coming in shackles. What? Yeah. You're a chosen vessel. You're going to bear my name before all these people, and the reason you're going to be there is because they want to kill you, and you're going to ask for pardon. And you know what they're going to do? They're not going to give it to you. Man, you know what? God has a wonderful plan for your life. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. It's a wonderful plan. And I am tired of preachers trying to get people to do something because of how it benefits them. And they appeal to their carnality to produce spirituality. And you will never get spiritual by appealing to your carnal side. You know what God says? If I'm going to accept it, there's no strings attached. I just want it in sincerity. And then the last thing, it has to be done with delight. Look at verse 13. He also say, behold, what a weariness. What a weariness is in it. What a weariness. Well, it's time to bring the Lord our sacrifice again already. Man, what in the world? It's like every time we turn around, we got to go bring another sacrifice to God. Man, I'm tired of these priests always wanting your animals. All they want is your turtle. I'm sick. What a weariness. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to church on Saturday night because then I can have Sunday fun day. Then I can get to what I really want to do. What a weariness. And when it came to having fun and all these other things, going to the gym, that boy, they love that. But when it came to the things of God, it was sag, bag, and drag. We're going to take our offering to the temple. Turn off the Xbox. No, I don't want to. I'm almost doing nothing. I almost completed nothing. Wait for me to do more of nothing. I feel like we're always going. You know what the Bible says? Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. It has to be done with delight. And God forbid, as a preacher, I should drag you into something and convince you to do something you don't want to do and guilt you into doing it when you don't delight to do it for the Lord. It won't be worth anything. We're here to give God what He wants. That's why we're here. And none of this is of any avail if we don't delight to do it because we love God. This is a fictional story, but Valentine's Day came around and I bought my... Did I say this was a fictional story? I bought my wife a bouquet of roses. And she said, "Honey, this is so nice. Why'd you do this?" I said, "Because I have to. It's Valentine's Day." And back in 1492, Columbus and St. Valentine got together and they decided how they could ruin the most people's lives in the world. And so they created a holiday and called it Valentine's Day so they could hold it over people's heads if they forgot. Well, thanks to Google, I didn't forget this time. And so I have this here because I know if I don't give it to you, you will be mad at me. And I gave it to you because I have to. You know what she did? She took that bouquet of roses and fed it to the donkey. You're like that donkey. Now that's fictional, right? Offer it to your governor. Offer it to your wife. And see if she'll accept it. You know what God said? If you don't delight yourself in the things of God, if you don't get an enjoyment out of it, you ever see two people sit down to dinner? You can't enjoy it unless both people want to be there. I go to restaurants and I can see there's definitely people don't want to be at the same table together. You ever see that? Like, I wonder what they're fighting out. I'm going to go ask them. You guys seem so happy. What's going on? You guys are bothered. You're upset, mad at one another. Well, I'm here for two reasons. I want to help you and also be entertained. No, that's terrible. It's terrible. But they can't enjoy it. You can't enjoy it unless you both want to be there. And God can't enjoy your company. He can't enjoy you sitting down in the morning and sacrificing time and reading your Bible if you just can't wait to get through with it, to get started with your day. You know what God wants? He wants some people that say, man, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I'll be glad and rejoice in it. And you know what I want to do this morning? I want to spend time with my Creator. I want to spend time with my God. And Lord, I'm going to sit down with you at your table. And I can't wait for you to show me something out of your word. And God, I'm here because I love you and I delight in your company. And God, I'm going to church this morning. And you know why I'm going? Because I love to be around your people. And I love to be around a bunch of people that are praising your name and singing to you and giving you glory. And God, if there anybody's going to make a big deal about you, I want to be there. I want to be there. And Lord, I'm going to give to you because I just want to, I'm not trying to get anything. I just love you. Right? God, I'm gonna do this service. I'm going to do this nursery. I'm going to do this Sunday school class. I'm going to sing these songs. Why? Because I just want to serve you. I love you. You've just been so good to me. And I just want to delight myself in the things of the Lord. And you say, that's good. I sure wish that was me, but it's not. What do I do? Look at verse 9. And now I pray you, beseech God that he will be gracious unto us. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare thy way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. You know what the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:25? You as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And you know what you do? You say, Lord, I know you came to purify me, and I know you came to purge me. And what comes to my service for you, it hasn't always been done in love and honor and sincerity. I haven't delighted in it. And Lord, would you forgive me? Would you forgive me? He died for it. He paid for it. And through Jesus Christ, our sacrifices can be acceptable. So just bring it to God and say, Lord, help me to love, honor, sincerity, and delight myself in you. If I can have the piano player come forward.